Let's begin with the prayer. Again, Father, we come to you because you want us to be praying without ceasing and to become a house of prayer. And God, we need you because without you, we can't do anything. And we need you 24/7. As Jose brought out and as this communion makes very clear to us that we need you in us, not just with us. We need you so that you're in our hearts. Like David said, create in me a clean heart. We need that desperately. And so God, you are the truth that we crave and the transparency that we need to have. So we just praise you and thank you and ask your continued guidance in our lives as we listen carefully to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we see here, the scripture we're going to be focusing on is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the first 14 verses, and they are quite revealing and eye-opening, and like every other verse in the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament, New Testament, God's Word has been written by God, by the Holy Spirit, who is God. How many of you know Rosa Parks? This is just a reminder because it's a good introduction as well. On December 1, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, a seamstress named Rosa Parks boarded a bus after a long day of work. The law said that she had to give up her seat to a white passenger if the bus became too full. And that day it did. And she refused and was arrested. It's a familiar story, but what many forget is that Rosa Parks wasn't the first to refuse. Others before her had taken similar stands, but they were often dismissed or forgotten. But Rosa Parks wasn't a loud voice or a natural activist. She was soft-spoken, polite, and deeply rooted in her Christian faith. And her courage didn't look like shouting. Instead, it looked like stillness. Her defiance wasn't reckless. When asked why she didn't stand up that day, she said something simple but powerful. Quote, "I had no idea history was being made. I was just tired of giving in." At that moment, her personal resistance made a bigger difference than she realized, and her simple act of refusing to move sparked the year-long Montgomery bus boycott and ignited a movement that would change the world. And she stood for the dignity of all people, for justice, and for the image of God imprinted on every person, regardless of race, gender, or what anything that divides us. So Rosa Parks stood up for the gospel by sitting down. And we need to stand up for the truth, but she sat down and still accomplished. So no matter where we are, we need to focus on the truth. And we all know what the truth is. A lot of people think the truth is doctrine. Now, there's a lot of truth in doctrine, but the truth, according to the Word of God, is a person. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so if we want to have the truth and to stand up for the truth, we need to be standing up for Jesus, because Jesus did things that shocked everybody when he was back walking this earth, because he didn't do what everybody expected him to do. They thought he was going to come back and make the Jews kings and be all about power and empire and all this kind of stuff. And he came back and he died. We said, what in the world is going on here? But Jesus challenged those who were, and he confronted the high priests, you know, because they were marginalizing people like all different kinds of people. But it was all about, like Jose was talking about, "I think this is okay. I think this is all right." Well, the high priests thought that in Jesus' day, and they had contempt for other people, and they just did what they thought was right. And that gets you in a heap of trouble. That is not the truth. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. The truth is the lifestyle that Jesus lived. And he interrogated Herod Antipas, and Herod was looking to see a miracle and so on. And you know what Jesus did? He said nothing. Because what did he do? Jesus always said, "I do exactly what my Father in heaven tells me to do." It's a relationship. And he had a relationship with the Father. In fact, one night he spent all night in prayer. And relationship with God is everything. And that's why we need, as Jose said, to have Jesus living in us to empower us to do the things we could never do. We can have faith, but faith that is our faith is a waste of time because it's not glorifying God. It's from us. But when it comes from God and he gives us his faith, it's everlasting faith. It's eternal because it comes from him and all the glory goes to him, because when we're exercising his faith, we are focusing on him rather than, look at my faith, I'm strong. No, that's not the way God wants us to look at it, because Jesus Christ came and humbled himself when he came into this world. He came as a little baby, like little Soran, and then grew up, and he experienced all the things of the flesh, and he had to go through trials and tribulations and eventually die, which he wants us to do. He says, if you are going to please God, you need to die to yourself. In other words, it's not what I want, rather it's what God wants. And that's what Jesus did. He says, it's what my Father wants. I do exactly what my Father wants me to do. Now, how do you do that? How do you do exactly what your Father wants to do, and our Father? Because God says when we pray, pray our Father. So even Jesus wants us to pray to the Father, although we can pray to Jesus and the Holy Spirit because they're one, and so on. But let's take a look at 2 Timothy and see some of the things that he tells us to do, because the book of 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy is all about standing up for the truth or standing up for Jesus. And it says, Paul, verse 1, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, because that is what he is. He has promised us eternal life. Now, think about that for a moment, because this is not just physical life until you kick the bucket. This is eternal life, where you never die. Like we read many times in Revelation 21, there's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and even no more death. And all our sins will be wiped away, and we will have eternal life, and we're going to be at the connected to the creator of the universe. And I'll never stop saying this, because we need to be reminded all the time that we have been so honored to marry the creator. It doesn't even make sense to human beings. But to be married to the creator, he says, his bride has made herself ready. That's what we're here for. We're here being prepared to be the bride of Jesus Christ, to reign with him for that 1,000 years when he comes back, and then for all eternity when he fulfills after the second resurrection, and all the rest of the world that has never known anything about Jesus has an opportunity to be converted. So God has a phenomenal plan, and this promise of life comes in Christ Jesus. He says, to Timothy, my dear son, because this is the way God wants us to be. We're family, and the church family is even more special, even though it's wonderful to have physical family, but the spiritual family, we can relate and interact and share our innermost problems and struggles and so forth, and we can pray for one another and pray with one another and become bonded together as the body of Christ, fitly joined together. Each of us are a part of that body. And he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God, not from us, but from God. He's the one that gives us grace. Grace is when we receive something we don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, and that's also comes from God, because he intervenes, and we don't have to pay for a lot of the penalties, because he can intervene, and he can do all sorts of things behind the scenes. That's why relationship with God is everything, everything. Because you can talk to him 24/7, and he's going to be involved in your life if you believe. If you don't believe, God says expect nothing, because that's exactly what you're going to get. James chapter 1 tells that very clearly. And it goes on to say, now, verse 3, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. And that's what God wants us to be doing, is to remembering each other in our prayers. And the fellowship time is when we get to know each other, and that we can pray for one another, because every one of us is going through crises when we really get to know each other. There isn't anybody that isn't going through some kind of a crisis at one time or another. That's the way God designed it to be, so that we can learn to trust and put our faith in God. If everything was a peach, we wouldn't learn much. We would just have a peachy life, and then you would probably become a snob and all sorts of other things. because you think, what's wrong with everybody else? Why can't they be as nice as me? Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I've been reminded of your sincere faith, and that faith, which he says, comes from God, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And that brings back a lot to me because my sister's name is Eunice, and I can't think of anybody that was could be a better sister than she was. She took me everywhere, and I was kind of like Sora Ann, you know, go everywhere. She took me everywhere. She was 15 years older than me, and I was her little baby boy, Melly Moo, she called me. But her name was Eunice, but Timothy had a Eunice for his mother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you, notice this, to fan into flame the gift of God. When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, remember what happened in Acts chapter 2? They had cloven tongues of fire that came down, and it was a miracle just to let everybody know this was super special because it was the beginning on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit first came down and became a part of all those who were there. And there were thousands of people from all over the world that came to Jerusalem to celebrate that special event of Pentecost. And he wants us to fan into flame. So, in other words, when you blow a fire and you fan it, it grows. And that's what God wants us to do, is to fan into flame and cause that fire for God, because our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says, and he lives in us and he wants us to be on fire for him. But how do we do that? We're going to see as we go on here. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, because that's what takes place at baptism, Acts 2:38. And when they laid hands on them, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:42, and so on, in Acts 2:38. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, is the way it's translated in some versions, but of a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Now, this is something I'd like to ask all of you to think about and to do, because it's really made a major difference for me. Because when I'm reading the Bible, this verse here I have underlined in red, because it really stands out to me personally. It says, God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity or hesitancy or just backing off like Jose was sharing about to begin with, but a spirit of power and of love, which is an outgoing concern for every human being on earth, and of self-control or self-discipline, because this is what God wants in us. He wants us to be transformed and to be changed and to have a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, and not to be timid about what the gospel is all about. And so I brought these here because what I do is, if I go through here, you'll see all through Timothy and so on, I've got things in red or whatever color. I've all got all sorts of different colors that I put in here. But the words that really strike me say, yes, that's something I need to change, and so on. I circle that or underline it or put a big red mark around it or draw through it in red or any other color. Sometimes it's yellow, sometimes it's green, whatever pencil I have to have at the time. But my book is a coloring book, but I love it. And I don't ever want to lose it for anything because it is so priceless. But the only way we're going to really build a relationship with God is to focus on the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God wants us to focus on His Word. And so I brought a few things today. I brought some pencils, and if you don't have a colored pencil, which some of you may not have, I've got a whole bunch here, and I'll make them available to anybody who wants them to mark. And if you don't have a Bible, and you have a Bible that you do not want to mark in, I brought some Bibles for you, so that you can take a Bible and mark in it all that you want. But this here is really good for new beginners or individuals who are young and so on. I give them out all the time. And so I'd like to make these available to you as well, because this is a part of what God has called us to do. He said, just before he went back to the Father after his resurrection, go and make disciples. How do you make disciples? You stand up for the truth. You stand up for Jesus. You focus on Jesus Christ. You don't cram it down people's throats. But when you know they're going through a rough time, all you need to do is listen and say, well, I know what you're feeling like there. I'll tell you, if Jesus hadn't intervened for me, I don't know where I'd be today. Because that's the way it is, like Jose shared in his message. Where would we be if we didn't have Jesus? Who knows where that would be? And it's so precious to be able to have something to give somebody, because this here is the story of Jesus Christ, and it's great for kids. And if somebody has three kids, and I give them three of them, and I said, but make sure you sit down with them and read it with them. Don't just give it to them, because they will go get their cell phone, you know, and then they'll be in their cell forever. But this is our job, is, you know, if you can help individuals, and I'll say I give dozens away every week. The box is full of them over here, so take all that you want and use them for God's glory and give them out to people. And I'm going to put the pencils in there too, so don't forget. I want everybody to at least take one pencil just to remind you about using your pencil, even if you've got one at home. But I'll leave them over there in the box. This is just another way that we can be reminded over and over, because when you've got these scriptures that are really critically important for you marked, you can go back over and you can go through two or three books at one time and be reminded of various things and pray instantly while you're going through those scriptures and say, God, I keep forgetting. Like, you know, it's so easy to do. You get sidetracked and we just need to have that reminder. And having these scriptures jump out at you that you have already marked is very helpful. So that's the purpose for, I've got my own, it's a red one here. But it's very helpful, and I hope you can take advantage of that opportunity. Now, the last half of these scriptures is beginning in verse 8. So, now that we don't have the spirit of timidity or the fear or hesitancy and saying, well, I just don't know what to do. Just ask God. Say, God, bring people into my path that you want me to encourage and be helpful to, and so on. God doesn't want us to cram our religion down anybody's throat that's not interested. But when you pray according to the will of God, and you know it is the will of God, that God use you for his glory and for us to go and make disciples. So if you pray and say, God, show me who you want me to be a part of that process of discipling that individual, please bring them into my path, and please give me your words so that whatever I say is directly from you, just through me, for your glory. And I promise you, God will not fail you. Because even if you say, God can cause people to hear things you didn't even say. You told me this. Oh, I did? Oh, wow. That's amazing. Because God can do anything. He is a redeemer, and he can redeem the stupid things that we do and turn it around for good. And he can redeem even the things that we say that we think, well, I didn't do a good job on that. But God can change all that, because God does the impossible. There's nothing that is impossible for God. So he goes on to say, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Because a lot of times you think, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not trained. I haven't gone to school. I haven't learned. I. But we come up with all these excuses for not doing what Jesus wants us to do. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us unto a holy life. Now, a lot of times people think, I'm not sure I want to be in a holy life. That sounds kind of sanctimonious. That's not what holy means. Holy just means mature. That is spiritually glorifying God, and it's whole. The whole means it's the whole thing, not just half-baked. When you're dividing your body between the flesh and the spirit, you're missing the point. We need to be fully led by the Spirit and dying to the self or the human nature that Satan is constantly putting us. If you put that shield of faith, it says, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Satan's putting thoughts all the time. He's putting thoughts in your mind. You can't do this. You can't do that. And you're never going to make it. And all this kind of stuff. Put the shield of faith up and it'll just glance off and it won't even penetrate your mind. And that's so important to remember. And I have to remind myself because those thoughts come into my mind just like they come into yours. He goes on to say, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. God has got a purpose for you. A lot of people have no clue that God has got a purpose for you. They say, I got to figure out what I'm here for. No, just read the Bible. It tells you smack dab right in the middle of every verse, practically wherever you look, that we're here to do the work of God, to glorify God, to follow the example of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. And these scriptures are everywhere. And when you come up with those scriptures that really tell you, this is what I need to be doing, mark it. Make a nice big mark around it so that you don't forget it and you come back and be reminded of it all the time. Now here's the one that I have written and sliced and put in parentheses and everything. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Think about that. That God had you in mind. I don't know how he does that. How he had you in mind before you were even born, even before Adam and Eve were even created. Before time occurred when God created it. Because God, the Father, and Christ, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit live outside of time. But they created time. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus because it was determined before it was even created. God knew that Jesus was going to have to be crucified. And some say, well, why did he have his son get crucified and why didn't he didn't do it? Well, he did it too because he was in him. Jesus Christ, he says, my Father who is in me, he does the works. The Father was in him and the Holy Spirit was all a part of it. They were working together for our benefit. And what a gift that is. But, verse 10, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because they didn't get it in the Old Testament. Remember, Israel, they were always rebelling and going here and going there and doing all sorts of shenanigans and rebelling and worshiping golden calves and everything else. Because that was the church of the Old Covenant, ancient Israel. The church of the New Covenant is the body of Christ that is going to be married to Christ because Jesus Christ is living in us and he's grooming us and preparing us for that future with him to fulfill his will. So it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death. Isn't that amazing? He has already destroyed death. When he sacrificed his life, he paid the penalty for all of our sins so that we have access to eternal life and destroying death so that we don't even have to worry about that. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, a lot of people think, and there's a lot of religions that think, well, we already have immortality. No, we do not have immortality. The Bible says that very clearly. We do not have it. You can read it. Previous chapter of 1 Timothy 6, verse 16 says, Jesus Christ, who alone is immortal. He was the only one who was immortal. There are no other immortal human beings but Jesus. And he is alone, is immortal, and who lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen. To him be glory and honor forever. Amen. So back to verse 10, he says, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light, that we have access to immortality. I mean, when you just think of that you don't even have to have fear for eternity, no worries, you don't have to worry about anything. All we have to do is just enjoy life. That's what Jesus said, who for the joy that was before him, that we're looking forward to after the resurrection and rising to meet the Lord in the air. And your body is changed in a moment in the twinkling of the eye at the last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise first and we're going to be changed. And this is brought to light that we will be given this immortality through the gospel. The gospel is the new covenant. It's Jesus Christ and it's all about him. Verse 11, And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And guess what? So are we. Because God called you. We have been called to do the very same thing that Jesus Christ did, and that is to give all the glory to the Father and to do the will of the Father no matter what. Verse 12, that is why I am suffering as I am, yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. And I have that day in red as well, because that's the day we're looking forward to, is the resurrection. That's the hope of the dead. If there is no resurrection, the dead haven't got a chance of an ice cube in the lake of fire. But the resurrection is the hope, the only hope the dead have. And it's our hope now as well, because it's appointed unto all men once to die, but after this comes the resurrection and the judgment. So now verse 13, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Again, he's just repeating, this is what it's all about. Jesus Christ will speak through us, but we have to be filling our hearts, our minds, our thoughts through the Word of God, marking it down, doing whatever it takes. But I'll tell you, when you have these things written down and highlighted in your Bibles, it's worth its weight in gold. Guard, verse 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. That deposit is the Holy Spirit. Because we have a deposit, we don't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit yet. We have a deposit. God gave us a cloven tongue of fire, but we are going to be like God. It says when Jesus Christ comes back in 1 John 3, verses 1 to 2, that we shall be like him. When we're like Jesus, I mean, we're going to have to be like him, because he's going to be our head and we're going to be his body. We're the body of Christ and he's our head, and we're going to be doing exactly what the head tells us to do for eternity. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. So we have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need to guard that and to thank God for this priceless gift of his nature that he gave to us when we were baptized and had the laying on of hands, as Paul said that he went through as well following Acts 2:38. Guard this good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But this is just so powerful and so inspiring and so encouraging that we can have this relationship with God, and that we know what we're here for, that we know we have a purpose, we have a mission, and God wants us to be best friends with him. It's not about being righteous. Our righteousness, God says, is filthy rags to him. But his righteousness in us is priceless beyond words, because he knows then he can trust us. He can give us power. He can give us immortality. He can give us a spirit body that will never sin or anything, because we've already said nothing to do with it. I've tasted it. I don't like it. I want to be a part of your kingdom, and I want to have your love and your joy, your peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, and self-control that comes only from God, because that's the truth. The truth is a person, and when he lives in us, you've got everything that you need. Anytime you're discouraged or depressed or whatever, do what Jesus did. He just kept his eyes on God, and he just looked to God for everything, and he was praying without ceasing like he told us to do. And so let's just be very thankful. Tell God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this priceless gift of grace and mercy and love that you've extended to us when we don't deserve it. And help us to do everything that we can to give all the glory back to you. Because when we do that, we're putting him first. And he says he's going to give us the whole universe. That's what the word all things is talking about. He's going to give us everything. It's just incomprehensible. So let's just thank him. Father, we just thank you so very much that you have such an incomprehensible plan that you designed before time was even created. Thank you, God, for your love and for your plan and for your kindness and your wisdom that all these things just come from you. And all we have to do, God, is just to ask you, and you freely give these things to us. And so, God, just help us to glorify you in all that we say and all that we do, because we want to stand up for the truth. You are our truth. And we want that transparency. We want that honesty. We want that conviction and commitment to put you first in everything that we say and that we do, so that we can be a part of your family for eternity. And we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, and the thanks in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.